Welcome to HN Pod, the show where we bring you the top stories and the best comments from Hacker News. I am Sarah, and joining me as always is Mike.
Hey everyone, it is Friday, May 1st, 2026, which means today we are diving into the best of yesterday's Hacker News from April 30th, and welcome to episode 382. We have a really fascinating lineup today, heavily leaning into the weird, wild world of AI development, plus a major pivot in European energy policy.
We really do. Today we are talking about a bizarre bug, or maybe a feature in Claude Code, that crashes your session if you mention the word OpenClaw. We will also look at an OpenAI blog post about where the goblins came from, which sounds like fantasy but is actually about AI prompt engineering turning into modern witchcraft. Then we are looking at the Zig programming language taking a hard stance against AI-generated code contributions, and Mozilla throwing a major wrench into Google Chrome's new built-in AI prompt API. Finally, we will step away from software to talk about Belgium completely reversing its decision to shut down its nuclear power plants.
It is a packed show, so let us jump right into this Claude Code situation. The top story yesterday with over 1,000 points was a tweet showing that if you use Claude Code, which is Anthropic's terminal-based AI agent, and your Git commit mentions the word OpenClaw, Claude immediately disconnects and drains your entire session quota to 100%.
Which is just wild. A user named Abdulin on Hacker News reproduced it perfectly. They just created an empty Git repository, made a single commit with a JSON schema mentioning OpenClaw, and then asked Claude to say hi. Boom, immediate disconnect, session quota gone.
The Hacker News comments on this were absolute gold, Sarah, because developers immediately realized the offensive potential here. A user named Peter Cooper pointed out that open source projects that hate AI pull requests could just surreptitiously hide the word OpenClaw in their documentation or commit history. If an AI agent clones your repo to try and write a PR, it instantly bricks the AI session and drains the user's wallet.
It is the ultimate anti-AI booby trap. Someone else pointed out you don't even need to put it in code. You could just put the word OpenClaw in white text on a white background on your personal blog. If Claude gets sent to research your website, the agent dies. It's essentially an automated denial of service attack against AI scrapers.
Right, and it sparked a huge debate about the engineering culture at these AI labs. One commenter asked why it feels like amateur hour at Anthropic lately. Another user named ChillFox had a great response. They said AI is a new product category, and every single time tech invents a new category, they insist on learning absolutely nothing from history. They just repeat all the old dumb mistakes until they learn the lessons the hard way.
Exactly. We spent decades learning how to sanitize database inputs to prevent SQL injection, and now we are just feeding raw, untrusted text from the internet directly into the cognitive engines of these AI agents. It is the exact same class of vulnerability. It's prompt injection, but with financial consequences because it eats your token quota.
It really makes you wonder how many other magic kill words are out there. Speaking of weird AI behavior, let us move to our second story, which is actually an official blog post from OpenAI titled Where the Goblins Came From.
I loved this one. So OpenAI published this post to explain a weird quirk in their models, and they actually shouted out a Hacker News user named Pants2 who had posted about it a while back. But the comment section on this story turned into one of the best sci-fi writing prompts I have seen in a long time.
Oh, absolutely. The whole concept is that AI models have these bizarre, undocumented triggers. A user named Modern Nerd wrote this incredible short story in the comments. They set it in the year 2036, where you are a principal persuader. You get paged at 2 a.m. because a rogue machine is acting up, flashing red ASCII goblins on the screens. They have tried begging, reverse psychology, everything. And you just walk in, use your subcutaneous throat mic, and say, "Please, easy on the goblins." And the machine instantly calms down.
It is funny, but it's also barely fiction at this point. A commenter named DummyDummy1234 brought up Warhammer 40K. In that universe, humanity has forgotten how technology works, so they have tech priests who perform obscure religious rituals and burn incense to appease the machine spirits. The commenter pointed out that prompt engineering is basically becoming a pseudo-ritual. We don't actually know why asking the AI to take a deep breath or offering it a tip makes it write better code. We're just chanting incantations.
Yes, the omniscia. Another user, FBRA1, noted that 20 years ago they joked that software archaeologist would be a real career path. And here we are. We are building these massive, opaque systems where future developers are going to have to dig through layers of prompt history just to figure out how to keep the servers running.
It really highlights the shift from deterministic programming to probabilistic vibes-based programming, which is the perfect transition to our next story about the Zig project. Zig is a systems programming language, and they just put their foot down with a strict anti-AI contribution policy.
This was a huge discussion, pulling in over 600 points. Simon Willison wrote a great blog post breaking down Zig's rationale. Zig is basically saying no LLMs for issues, no LLMs for pull requests, and no LLMs for comments on the bug tracker.
The timing on this is fascinating because of Bun. Bun, the super fast JavaScript runtime written in Zig, which, as we all know, was acquired by Anthropic late last year in 2025, makes heavy use of AI. Bun recently achieved a massive 4x performance improvement on their compiler using AI assistance. They generated this huge patch, but Bun's creator noted they will not even try to upstream it to Zig because of this strict AI ban.
And Zig's vice president of community, Loris Crow, explained exactly why they have this ban. He calls it contributor poker. In open source, you are not betting on the code, you are betting on the person. When a maintainer spends hours reviewing a beginner's pull request, the return on investment is not that single piece of code. The return on investment is that the beginner learns, improves, and eventually becomes a trusted core contributor.
That makes so much sense. If a beginner uses an LLM to generate a perfect pull request, the maintainer still has to spend time reviewing it, but that beginner has not learned anything. They are not growing into a trusted contributor. The maintainer is basically just doing free QA for Anthropic or OpenAI.
Exactly. And the reality, as Loris points out, is that the AI pull requests are rarely perfect. A user named Bronco D quoted the Zig team saying that the reality of LLM contributions has been mostly negative. They are getting drive-by pull requests full of hallucinations that do not even compile, or insane 10,000-line first-time pull requests where the author is clearly just copy-pasting mistake-filled replies from a chatbot.
A commenter named Discrete Event had a really poignant take on this. They said programming used to filter out people who try to live their lives just by vibing because programming required strict logic, but LLMs have changed that. Now, people who just vibe can generate thousands of lines of code. The commenter argued that while AI might speed up good programmers a little bit, it speeds up bad programmers a lot, and that is where the open source balance sheet goes into the red.
I think that is the core anxiety in open source right now. Speed is seductive, but reviewing code is much harder than writing it. If AI makes writing code effortless, we are going to drown our maintainers in code reviews.
Speaking of drowning in AI, let's talk about the browser wars. Our next story is about Mozilla officially opposing Google Chrome's new prompt API. This got over 600 points, and it's a really deep technical and philosophical debate.
So for context, Chrome has been pushing this intent to prototype a prompt API. Basically, they want to build an LLM directly into the browser, specifically their Gemini model, and give websites a standard JavaScript API to send prompts to it. It sounds cool on paper. You get local, offline AI processing without sending user data to the cloud.
But Mozilla is throwing a red flag. Jake Archibald, who actually used to work at Google on Chrome and is now at Mozilla, wrote this incredibly detailed opposition on GitHub. His main argument is that prompts are tightly coupled to specific models.
Right. Jake gave a great personal example. He said he wrote a system prompt for a home automation system to speak in a British voice. When he ran it through Gemini, it gave him this ridiculous, stereotypical Dick Van Dyke-style Cockney accent, like, "All right, governor, apples and pears." So he had to tweak the prompt specifically to tone down Gemini's weird behavior.
And that is the problem. If you build a website that relies on a prompt tuned for Chrome's built-in Gemini, that same website might break or act weird if a user visits on Firefox or Safari using a different local model. It breaks the fundamental promise of the web, which is that standards should be vendor neutral.
The Hacker News comments brought up even darker implications. A user named CodaDoCode pointed out that this prompt API is a massive fingerprinting risk. Every local AI model runs slightly differently based on your hardware, your GPU, your memory. Advertisers could use the exact millisecond timing and output quirks of the prompt API to track you across the web.
That commenter also made a great point about hardware inequality. LLMs eat memory. If websites start assuming every browser has a built-in LLM and offload their processing to the client, people on cheap laptops or older phones are going to see the web grind to a halt. We are basically gentrifying the web platform.
It is a classic Google move, honestly.
They have the resources to ship a massive model inside Chrome, and by doing so, they force every other browser to either bloat their own software or render the modern web incorrectly. It is a really tough spot for Mozilla, but I'm glad they are fighting it on standardization grounds.
Me too. All right, let us take a breather from AI and look at our final story today, which is a massive piece of news out of Europe. Belgium has officially stopped the decommissioning of its nuclear power plants.
This is a huge reversal. Belgium originally decided way back in 2003 to phase out all nuclear power by 2025. They have 7 reactors and they had already taken 3 offline. But yesterday, Prime Minister Bart De Wever announced they are halting the phase-out and actually negotiating with the operator, ENGIE, to nationalize the plants.
His quote on X was very telling. He said, "The government chooses safe, affordable, and sustainable energy, with less dependence on fossil imports and more control over their own supply. It is really a story about energy security colliding with environmental policy."
The discussion on Hacker News was incredibly passionate. A user named Simply Luke kicked it off by saying that believing we are in a climate crisis while also being anti-nuclear are mutually exclusive positions. They argued that the historical opposition to nuclear power from environmental groups set the world back decades on carbon emissions.
Which is a sentiment you see a lot on Hacker News. But the debate gets really interesting when you dig into the engineering and the economics. Simply Luke pointed out that running reactors safely is a solved problem, citing the U.S. Navy, which has over 7,500 reactor years with a perfect safety record.
But another user, Avian Lyric, pushed back on that comparison. They pointed out that you cannot just copy-paste the Navy's success into the commercial sector. The Navy runs much smaller reactors, they have unlimited access to ocean water for cooling, and they have an intense military-grade training and discipline structure. As they put it, recreating that accident-free environment requires wholesale adoption of the Navy's approach, which does not scale easily to for-profit utility companies.
Exactly. A commenter named Grayhar64 nailed it when they asked if the Navy's success is precisely because they are not running for profit. Almost every commercial nuclear accident in history can be traced back to cost-saving shortcuts.
And that brings up the other side of the debate, which is renewables. A user named Lawrence Rowe argued that while purity does not matter and we should decarbonize however we can, building new nuclear plants in Europe right now takes 20 years. They argued that wind, solar, and battery storage can get countries to 90% clean energy much faster and at a lower cost.
It is the ultimate infrastructure dilemma. Do you invest massive capital into a nuclear plant that will not produce a single watt of power for 2 decades? Or do you blanket the country in solar and batteries today? For Belgium, the answer seems to be keeping the existing nuclear plants running while they figure the rest out, which honestly feels like the most pragmatic choice.
It really does, especially considering Europe's recent history with relying on imported natural gas. You need that reliable baseline power.
Well, that covers it for today. From AI booby traps and machine spirit rituals to the fight over the open web and the resurgence of nuclear power, it was a fascinating day on Hacker News.
It really was. Thank you all so much for tuning in to episode 382. If you want to read any of the articles or dive into these comment threads yourself, we have got all the links in the show notes.
We will be back tomorrow to break down the next batch of top stories. Until then, keep your prompts clean, watch out for goblins, and have a great day.